This is Millie, and welcome to the Escaping Narcissistic Mothers podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. I can help you navigate the difficult waters of going no contact. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word. Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a good day and a good week. And probably I'm going to say you had a good month and you're starting the new month off in a good way. I just want to first start off by saying how much I appreciate every single one of you that listen. Because I just know that we're tied together by this experience, right? Our experiences being raised by a narcissistic mother. And it's a situation that only other people like us can understand. And a lot of people still don't understand, although I'm so happy with what I'm seeing on social media, and it's the reason that I have done this is because I wanted the word to get out about narcissism in families. And it's not just the mother. You know, with us, it's the mother is a narcissist, but there's other narcissists in the families, and there's the whole flying monkey, golden child scapegoat thing going on with the dysfunctional family. And so you're not just dealing with the narcissistic mother, you're dealing with the entire group of people that have always kind of stuck together to be narcissistic, which is crazy, but that is the way it works. And sometimes we feel so alone in this, right? We feel that no one understands us, no one sees it. And if you're lucky, there's one or two people in your family, if you have a large enough family, that do understand and see it. And but you may be the one that's been chosen to be the chain breaker, right? And I say chosen. By chosen, I just mean you're the scapegoat, you're the one that realized it, and you're the one that's speaking out on it or doing something about it. And that's an incredible responsibility, and by incredible, I mean amazing and beautiful. So please don't give up. Keep going. Keep learning, however you're learning. Read books. Watch videos, listen to podcasts, learn, okay? Because the more you learn, the better you are able to deal with it, and the better you are at explaining it to others. You can be me. You can have a podcast. You can write a book. I know there's several people that follow me on Instagram or listen to the podcast who've written books. That could be you. I have started a book several times and I just haven't kept going. Maybe one day, right? That's a goal. Okay, so I want to talk about something that usually gets a lot of attention because everybody wants to know, you know, is my mother a narcissist or not? Is my mother covert or not? Honestly, this is one thing I will always say, and I'll start by saying this. If someone, regardless of their relation to you, makes you feel bad about yourself, it doesn't matter if they're technically a narcissist or not. Okay? You don't need that title, or you don't need to prove, oh, they're a narcissist. They could just be toxic to you. And that's all you need. because you want to surround yourself with people that love you and support you so that you can move forward in your life and be successful and be happy. You can't be happy with someone who's putting you down and they didn't hide it. So we're talking about more of the alcoholics, probably. The ones that, you know, they didn't really care if anyone saw them screaming at you or hitting you in public. Those are very overt. They're out there. My cousin is an overt narcissist, right? The one that I've talked about in several podcasts, the one who is my aunt's son, well, obviously, you know, has to be aunt or uncle's son, but that they live in Miami. He's very overt. He's out there. I mean, he walks into a room and he might as well just say, "People look at me now." You know, that's he's very obvious. He's textbook. Like what people think of narcissists, that's him. There should be a picture of him in the dictionary because that's who he is. You know, he loves himself. He wants attention. Lots of women in his life. The thing is, he's getting older. He's 20 years older than me, so he is 68. He is not a spring chicken anymore. He's about to be 69 in next... Well, it's May 30th today, but in July is his birthday. He's going to be 69. He's not a spring chicken anymore, so I'm wondering how that's affecting his mental well-being as far as... Is he getting depressed? Is the mask slipping? Is he trying harder to have a relationship with his son because he's not getting the attention from other people? I don't know, right? And I won't know, and that's fine. I'm glad about that. I don't want to know. Okay, so here we go. A covert narcissistic mother is the kind of mother that to the outside world, they look like the perfect mother because that's what they want the outside world to see, okay? Your situation or the specifics may be different. This was mine. My mother put me in Catholic school my whole life. And actually, because of this, when I was 42 and I, you know, I said, hey, to my cousin's daughter, I was talking to her and I said to her, look, this is the truth. You didn't really see what was going on behind doors. She was like, but you were a princess. So in everybody else's eyes, I was being treated as a princess. And behind closed doors, it was a completely different story. Okay? So, to the outside world, they're perfect. They're the perfect parent. They're always there. They're always, you know, taking care of you. That's what it looks like to the outside world. And in fact, that taking care of you constantly is control. Okay? And that's what the world didn't see. What they saw was a mother who worried about her daughter all the time, when in fact, it was a mother who wanted to make molded so that you looked perfect to the outside world as well. So with me, it was grades, right? My grades had to be, I had to have straight A's and everything. If I got a B, well, I'll give you an example. This is something a covert narcissistic mother does. When I was graduating from eighth grade, which actually in my school wasn't really a graduation, it was more like a moving on ceremony because the school was a high school. So they had a junior high. I'm talking about New York here. I know a lot of states have middle school, and I know that because I worked in one. Middle school here is 6 through 8, but junior high in New York was 7 and 8, okay? So I was graduating or finishing eighth grade, and I got a B in social studies. I hated social studies. That wasn't my favorite subject. To this day, I am glad that my husband is a history buff because I'm the math person and the English person, and he's the history person, right? So we complement each other very well. Anyhow, I got a B in social studies. And she told me that she wasn't going to go to the ceremony because they did do a little ceremony for us. There were only 13 of us in the middle school, junior high, in eighth grade that were moving on. And they were doing a little celebration for us, right? And I had to go early because I had to rehearse it. Just, it was 13 of us, you know, rehearsal's going to take 10 minutes. But I left to go to the rehearsal not knowing if my parents were going to be there. And as a matter of fact, when I processed in, they were not there yet. And I have told the story, I have reminded my mother of this, and she always said that that wasn't true, and it is 100% the truth. And that is another covert narcissistic thing. They gaslight you. When they know they did something wrong, and they know they did it wrong, they will tell you they didn't do it or that you're not remembering it correctly. And I know damn well that my parents weren't there. They got there late. And that was abusive. I was 13 years old, for goodness sake. So that's what covert narcissistic parents do. Okay? It's little things. Things that don't seem like a big deal. Maybe. Maybe you didn't even think it was a big deal. But it's a huge deal when you think back at it. You know, the thinking that's in your brain. I mean, I was 13 years old walking into my eighth grade graduation. I'll call it that because there's no other word for it. And my parents weren't there. I'm surprised to this day that they did make it to my senior year graduation because I was going out with the boy that my mother hated and I didn't have straight A's. Because when I got to high school, I rebelled a little bit. I'm not the type to have gone crazy. Like, I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink. I didn't do anything. But when it came to my grades, I just did enough to keep her off my back, right? So, I mean, in math, I was always going to get an A because I liked it. But in other subjects, I did enough to keep her off my back, right? She said if I failed that she would pull me out and put me into the sleepaway schools. I always forget the term for them. Boarding school. That she was going to put me in a boarding school. So, you know, I always had that threat over my head about my grades. So I always had to keep it to a certain level. I was in the honors classes. I had to keep my grades high enough so that I could stay in the honors classes and, you know, just keep her off my back. So that's a covert narcissistic mother in a nutshell. I mean, that's what they do. They do things to you that other people never know about. And if you tell the story, it's hard to believe. Like, who would believe that this saintly mother who dedicated her life to her daughter, me, would not attend her eighth grade graduation? That just doesn't sound right. But it is. That's exactly what happened. So the thing is, and here's another kind of tidbit and lesson, is that we have to live our lives without, number one, explaining ourselves anymore. Okay? So if you have spent any time explaining yourself to other people, stop right now. Okay? You do not have to explain your actions, your life, or your anything to anybody. Okay? You are an adult, and you do not have to explain yourself to anybody. So stop. Okay? If they don't believe you, if you decide you want to tell them a story, and they don't believe you, you stop right there. You don't believe me? That's fine. Okay, I was watching Mel Robbins. I don't know if you know who she is. She's a, she's a motivational speaker. Her last name is Robbins, like Tony Robbins, but she's not related to Tony Robbins as far as I know. But anyhow, as far as I know, I'm saying, I don't know. But I do follow her. And she said the last video I saw was so, it made so much sense to me. And it's the idea of saying to yourself, then let it be. Okay? And the then let it be mentality is, and this is the example she gave, if your friends are all going to brunch and they don't invite you, let it be. Okay? Do not get upset. Do not get angry. Let it be. Like, what other people do is not, you can't control that. You can't stop people from doing what they're going to do or say what they're going to say or think what they're going to think. You just cannot change that. You can't change other people's opinions. Your mother has been working on other people's opinions of you for many years. You're not going to be able to change that because you're coming in late in the game. And that's okay. Let it be. Stop worrying about what other people think. What other people think of you is none of your business. That's how what I like. As a matter of fact, I think I've said this in another podcast, the mistake I made in December, which was talking to someone who was in contact with my family in Miami, right? She's my cousin. I had sent her a message in September. It took her 3 months to get back to me. And she got back to me Christmas Eve. Why in the world? That's a Hoover attempt. That was my cousin telling her, today you're going to get back to her. Why? Because, you know, it's Christmas. Let's ruin her Christmas. That's why. Did it ruin Christmas? No. Did it make me anxious for a little while? Absolutely. But we had plans, and for a minute there, I thought I wasn't going to make it. And then I said, you know what? Forget this. And I hung up the phone with her, and I said to my husband, I'm getting ready right now. And I got ready really fast because we were running a little late. And we went, and we had a good time where we were going, and I was not thinking about her. I know I was talking about letting it be and I remember now. So the best way to think about things is I don't want to know what other people think of me. You don't, believe me, especially if it's this kind of situation. I had told her because she's friends with someone else who was a flying monkey I cut off years ago. And it's crazy because it's my cousin's ex-wife. I don't know how they became friends because they hated each other the last time I heard, but they did. And I was very vocal and honest about how I felt about her. I said, I don't like her. I don't want to talk to her. I want nothing to do with her. Right? And I explained why. I said, she butt in the situation and then she decided to tell me everything that my mother had said about me that was negative. And there's only one reason for that, and that's to hurt me. So that's why I cut her off. So I was very honest, because I didn't want her to keep trying to contact me, because she did. She, you know, up until a few months ago, she tried to, you know, I have my own personal Instagram page, and she, but it's private. And I was like, yeah, right. I'm going to let you in here. I don't use it, so it wouldn't matter, but I didn't. Anyway, so this woman decides that she's going to tell me a few things. I said, can you please not? I don't want to hear what my mother said about me. Boundary. She kind of tried again. I said, I don't want to hear what my mother said about me. And then I said, I have to go, right? You put a boundary. If the person doesn't respect it, you get out of the conversation. Okay? The point is, I mean, the boundary, very important with people. But my point here is, I didn't want to hear any other things that my mother said about me. My mother is dead. So hurting me by hearing some other lie that my mother said about me is not going to... it's not going to do me any good. I let go of all of that, and I don't need to hear anything new. Like, it's bad enough that I think that I'm going to get contacted by someone saying that they're my half-sibling on my mother's side. You know, it's I don't need drama, more drama, right? For those of you that have been following me, and I'm going to continue the covert narcissistic thing, but, I mean, these are all examples of covert things. They've been smearing you your whole life and you didn't know it. That's very covert. That's very manipulative. because they know someday you're going to open your eyes, or in case that happens, and they have an army of people that are already on their side because they've been lying about you. And you didn't know about it, right? So many of you have contacted me and are so hurt. And how do I stop my mother from saying these things about me? And the answer is, you can't stop your mother from saying those things. But you can stop listening to those things, right? The only person you have control over is yourself. And I want to say that over and over and over again, because I think people just want to be able to control what makes them feel bad on the outside, but we don't have control of that, you know? It's like going up to a tree and telling it to stop growing or die. It's not going to do either of those things. The tree is going to do what it does. Your mother's going to do what she does. She's not going to stop, okay? And if she's contacting you and you don't want to be contacted, I don't, you know, it's very difficult for me to try to tell someone. I can't give you advice on how to make her stop, because you can't, right? There's so many levels of narcissism in extreme cases. I've heard of so many at this point where even the mother is, you know, the daughter goes no contact and the mother goes as far as, you know, showing up to the house, does all that. But then when the daughter still doesn't give in, she'll start contacting the husband, the boyfriend, and even the job. So that's more serious. And that's where you have to get HR involved. You have to get the police involved, because that's different. I mean, they're now interfering with your, you know, your livelihood. It's a different story. So, but you can't control them. Even if they go that far, you cannot stop them. The only way to stop them is, I mean, if it gets that serious, is you do have to get a restraining order. You don't have a choice. So remember that. Remember that no matter what happens, you're not in control of what they do. You're in control of what you do, and only what you do. And what you are going to do is cover yourself as much as possible. Protect yourself. You talk to an old friend and they're like, you know, when we were younger, your mom used to say blah, blah, blah. And then you say, I don't want to hear that. Please don't tell me. There's no reason for me to know that. And hopefully they will understand if they're your friend and stop and not get upset with you. You know, because that just shows that their boundaries, they're not good with boundaries, and that's not good. I'm very respectful of boundaries. I try to be. Right, I have a friend who, she doesn't pick up the phone before 12:30, and she told me that. So I don't call her before 12:30. What for? Right, I'm respectful of boundaries. If I know that someone's on vacation, I don't call or text or whatever. My friend is currently on vacation right now, but her birthday was yesterday, so of course I sent her a text to say happy birthday. But I'm not calling. I'm not trying to interfere, right? Boundaries, people. We have to have them with other people, and we have to respect other people's boundaries. Okay, so I touched upon several things of a covert narcissistic mother. So we are extensions of them, and we have to look and be a certain way. There's another thing that a lot of covert narcissistic mothers do, and that is that they are the savior of the neighborhood. Okay, I don't know if you had a savior mother, but I did. In the building we lived in when I was a teenager, if anybody had a baby or a small child and they were sick, my mother was the first one to run to them as if she were a doctor, and, you know, have potions and stuff made to give to the kid. Old Cuban remedies is all I'm gonna put it that way. If there's any Cubans listening to me, you know what I'm talking about, right? And So she was the savior. She was the one that, you know, she was the first one there. So you're an extension of the narcissistic parent. And so you have to be perfect in the eyes of other people. Oh, I was talking about how the narcissist could be a savior kind of person. When I started to notice my mother's behavior, what I did was, sometimes I would literally say, who do you think you are, God? Because she had that godlike personality. Like, she thought she knew it all, and she thought she was right, and she thought she could save everybody, and her advice was the best advice, and, you know, and people fell for it, which is the crazy thing. Like, how do other people that don't know her that well fall for it? Because they kind of sound like they know what they're talking about. That doesn't make any sense. Well, that's why there's so many people that follow conspiracies, because if it makes any sense to them at all, then they follow it. So, I mean, it's no secret that leaders of cults are narcissists. Right? They're extreme narcissists, but they're narcissists nonetheless, because they do believe that they are God or a form of God, Jesus, Messiah, and people follow them and believe them. So, okay, so we talked about that. How about, and I mentioned gaslighting. Gaslighting is a big one. You know, they cannot take responsibility for anything that they have ever done wrong. It is just not a possibility, because in their mind, they really don't believe that they have done anything wrong. And I have gone back and forth on that theory, I guess, on whether they believe or don't believe that they're wrong. I think that there are things in a narcissist's brain that they truly believe is the case, right? And then there are things that they know they're doing to hurt you. For example, the not showing up to my 8th grade graduation. That was on purpose, right? That was for real on purpose. But there's a part of me that also thinks there are things that she believed, like that she was never wrong, right? When she did something that she was never wrong. She did something to me that has shaped my teenage years and my self-esteem for many, many years, since I was 17 till I was about 31. I believed something about myself. And I asked for an apology. And this is what she said to me. How many times do I have to apologize for the same thing? And the answer to that is, just once, for real. I apologize for the background noise. My neighbor's on the phone. Just once and for real. That's all I'm asking for. One time that you say, I am truly sorry that I said this to you, that it has hurt you. I will never say anything like that to you again. And I was wrong. That was what I was hoping to hear. And I never did. She died and I never heard it. So that's all covert. And with a covert narcissistic mother, they're not... The covert ones are the ones that have a bigger opportunity to stay married longer, because they're not, like I said, because they're not the boisterous, out loud, everything is clear that they're toxic. They can hide it better. They can trap someone like my father, who has no spine and no soul, and then keep them there with them. And even have control of them after they've died. Because that's what happened to me. My mother died September 2021. It is now 2023. It's been a year and a half. Over a year and a half. And I thought when she died, I said, that's my opportunity to have a relationship with my father for the first time ever. And that did not happen. My father did not come around. And I talk on here a lot about no. This is going to sound odd, but I recorded this podcast like a week and a half ago, and I got interrupted. And I thought I had finished the podcast, but in fact I hadn't, and I have been editing the part that I had recorded so I could continue. And I know it's weird to hear this towards the end of this podcast, but I just wanted to apologize, and I just want to go on with a few things, a few other narcissistic mother traits or things that they tend to do. So what else do they do besides everything else I've already talked about? One thing is they give you an underhanded compliment, okay? So they're very good at that. So one way to not be super obvious, although it feels pretty obvious to you, is to say something like, oh, you've gained weight, but it looks good on you, right? So they insulted you, especially if they know that you have an issue with weight, right? You feel bad about weight, or you've struggled with losing weight. That's where they're gonna go, right? They're gonna take those things you're insecure about, and they're going to use it against you to make you feel bad about yourself or worse. My mother did that many times to me. She called me in Spanish her little piglet, which sounds cute, but it's not cute at all when I was always insecure about my weight, right? And what they do is they sabotage you, okay? And I talked about that in the last podcast. But if you're trying to lose weight, or you actually lose weight, they try to sabotage you. When I got divorced, I lost a lot of weight. I got really thin, the thinnest I've ever been in my life. I'm not thin anymore. And she would tell me things like, you look sick. You've lost too much weight. It doesn't look good on you. And it was envy and jealousy, because at that time, I was getting a lot of attention. And she didn't like that. You know, we can't outshine them in any way, shape, or form. And physically, I think my mother had a lot of insecurities. And seeing me kind of blossom like that, you know, lose a lot of weight and getting attention and moving on with my life after the divorce, which, you know, of course she didn't want me to do. She didn't want me to get divorced. That was something that was unheard of. And so she made me feel like I didn't look good, that I looked sick. And the good thing was that I knew that I did look good, and that I felt good, which was the best thing. I did feel good. I felt I had a lot of energy. It just felt good to have lost all that weight, you know? Now, this is not my opinion on everyone, and I have been working really hard at accepting myself as I am now, because the last few years of my life have been really, really, really difficult, and having extra weight has to be something that I have to be okay with. Because you can't do it all, right? You can't heal trauma and lose weight and do this and do that and do this and do that. Considering everything that, you know, I've been through, I'm doing pretty good, right? If my worst vice is eating too many sweets, then so be it, right? That's the issue here. I used to be a smoker, and I quit smoking 6.5 years ago, and I didn't go back. So eating too many sweets, or, you know, not binging, but just eating unhealthily, it's something I have to work on, but one thing at a time, right? I haven't put out a podcast in a bit, and that is because there's other things going on in my life, not bad things, but there are other things going on in my life, and that's what I don't have the time to record the podcast because I'm adjusting. My life is finally changing. At least it looks that way right now. I started EMDR, and some of you probably have heard of it and some of you haven't. It's called eye movement desensitization. I cannot say that word. Reprocessing. Okay. And it's a way to process trauma. I had 2 sessions. The first session is just to get to the root cause of the feelings. And I had my first actual EMDR session. And all I'm going to say about it is that it's very, a very interesting experience. EMDR is something that you have to be prepared to do because you are going to focus on the most uncomfortable moments of your life. And after you do EMDR, those moments are not going to have a hold on you anymore. That's the thing. But during EMDR, you have to focus on that moment, that traumatic moment. My EMDR session was not about, it wasn't about my mother completely. My mother came up, of course, because it's kind of a process of you start in one place and then you stick with that feeling and then what comes up from there. And, you know, my mind did end up going to a place where my mother was involved. And you come out of it actually very aware of yourself. And it's an incredible process, but there's side effects to it, believe it or not. And there's no drugs involved. It's just you and the therapist. But I had really vivid nightmares, or not nightmares, dreams. My mom was in it. I felt disoriented afterwards. I was driving down a street that I drive often, and it looked like I was in the wrong place, and I turned to take a different street, and I was like, oh my God, I was on the right street. It's a little weird, and I had a headache. She warned me those things could happen, and she checked up on me the next day, which was really nice of her. But those traumas were processed. And I cannot tell you right now, because this only happened 2 days ago, if those things are clear or not. What I worked on was a trauma having to do with when I was a teacher, right? I've told this story many times. The principal was, I would say, narcissistic, if not, you know, other things too. But she was definitely narcissistic, and she picked on me for 2 years. And she just threw me under the bus one day, and I was, at that point, regardless of what I would have, how I would handled the situation, the end result would have been the same. I think I was going to quit that day anyway. I wanted to leave. I couldn't take it anymore. And that was just the reason for me to leave, to quit. So, I got to stand in that moment, which was not fun. It's not fun. But I also got to release that moment, you know? And there's a specific thing that happened that she did, and you know, just sitting there and picturing it again and feeling those feelings again, that was not fun. But hopefully it's gonna, you know, it's a domino effect into other areas of my life. So I just want to let you know that I may not put out as many podcasts as I used to, but I have hundreds of podcasts. You always have the option of going back and looking at my old podcasts and listening. Of course, the further back you go, the less I was, the less knowledge I had at the time. So my recommendation is to look back at the a year and a half, okay? And that's as far back as I would listen to a podcast. Anything before that, it's not that I'm giving you bad advice. It's just my emotions were way more into it than later on, right? Because it wasn't as, the more time passed, the stories I told were just not as emotional for me as before. So that EMDR session, I'm hoping fixed or at least takes the sting out of one area of my life. And my next session that I want to tackle is, it has to do with my father. My father has not been on my mind a whole lot in the last week, but there's a reason for that. I've been busy, and so I haven't had the space in my mind for him. But there is something that he did that I need to let go of completely. I need to let go. He made the choice that he didn't want to have contact with me, and I need to let go so I can let go of him. I mean, I think I've done pretty good. And when I said I'm done with him, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to think about what's going on with him. And I've been doing better. But I need to let go of certain things that he did to me in the past, right? And I want to process it during EMDR. Anyway, I'm going to end there. And you guys know how much I love you. But you also know that all of us have a goal of moving on from this, moving on from our experience with narcissistic parents. And that's where I am right now. I'm in the process of moving forward and staying in the space of having to recall things and talk about traits of narcissism is just not helpful for me right now. So, like I said, it's not that I'm not going to ever put out a podcast again. Of course I will. But I'm hoping to instead of just giving you traits of narcissism and examples of how they worked in my life, I'm hoping to say, hey, this is what can happen for you after the fact, right? How you can have a parallel life. Now, not all of you have been affected the way I was. I had a traumatic experience finding out that pretty much everything I knew about my family and my life was not the truth. And it snowballed to the point where I felt paralyzed in my life, stuck. I couldn't move forward. I couldn't move backwards. I couldn't move sideways. I was just stuck in that one moment in time. It felt like that one moment, right? I'm now a different person. That's how it felt. I'm not the same person I used to be because, well, I have three older brothers I had no idea existed. But the truth of the matter is, And I figured this out a while ago. Nothing has changed. I am who I am. Knowing that my parents did things before I was born that were not good does not change me at all. The knowledge that I have three brothers didn't really change anything in my life. It was just the fact that I had to face my parents' toxicity at that point, right? And in the last few months, having to really, because my mother died in September of 2021. This is not about her, okay? I've been able to, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, forgive her. I've been able to forgive her. I'm not excusing it, and I'm not saying that things she did were great. I mean, I just did a whole podcast on her traits, But she's gone, and I've released the anger towards her. And that's really important. But I had to face up to the fact that my father had so much responsibility in this too, where I held him for a long time in a place of he's a victim. But looking at it with a closer, magnifying glass, the three brothers are his sons, not her sons. They're his sons. He abandoned them all when they were children. He helped my mother abuse me frequently. He would take her side regardless. As a matter of fact, a lot of times I was on the phone with my mother. She would start an argument. Reactive abuse, right? She would provoke an argument. And when I fought back, which is normal, he would be screaming. I could hear him screaming to me to stop. So I was at fault. It was my fault. He did things much worse than that, okay? Much worse. And that's the EMDR that I'm going to do are those things. He is a hypocrite, because he would give me advice about things that I hadn't really done anything that bad, and things that he had done 10 times worse. And I've had to face up to that and accept it. And that's where I am now, in that place where I see it. I no longer see my father as a victim. I see my father as a very poor man, in the sense that he has no spine, right? He let people manipulate him, but at the same time, he's a grown-up, and he made a lot of bad choices. So whatever his situation in life is now, he created himself, including having a daughter who was willing to be in his life, and he rejected me. That was the biggest mistake of all, for him. Not for me. Thinking about it, he saved me a lot of headache and worry and concern. And he doesn't want anything to do with me either? Great. I don't have anything to do with you then. That's four kids that he abandoned. And I don't feel like an abandoned kid. I really don't. I'm 48 years old. I'm not an orphan, right? But I had to look at it, you know? I had to look at it. So I'm trying to heal that part of it so that I can completely move on from this whole situation. But I'm doing better. I am doing better. I see myself not oversharing as much as I used to, which was a big problem for me. Because I could hear myself saying things and go, oh my God, stop talking. And I couldn't. But now I know you don't have to talk about it. People don't have to know. You meet new people. They don't have to know your story. And that's a good thing. And it hasn't been that difficult not to talk about it. So anyway, please forgive me if I don't put out as many podcasts. But I'm here, and I love you very much, and I'm not leaving you in any way, shape, or form. I just have other things going on that take up my time. But I do want to make podcasts that are more positive and more about healing and getting you to the point where you don't want to be listening to narcissistic mother podcasts, because that's where you want to be. Believe me. Okay, that's where you want to be. You want to be in the place where I have let this go and now I'm ready to move on and I don't want to be in this every day. That's where you want to be. And that's where I want to get you. So I love you guys so much. And until next time.